Blog
it was
Talk
nuts.
Radio.
I was like, how could you drink all this? I'm like, this is insane. And they were all open, too. It wasn't even like some of it was like closed. I mean, it was all like opened.
Yeah, I don't know how some people can do it.
I don't either, man. I'm a lightweight when it comes to that stuff, man. I can't drink very much at all.
I'm not a drinker. I'm
falling all over myself, you know, sloppy, you know. Yeah. Ugh. All right, here we go. All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we have a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till about 8 o'clock tonight. Not a whole lot going on, but we got some good topics here. Hey, guys, just as a side note, and I'll repeat this at the end of the show as well, just if you don't hear it. But next week is the AFC-NFC Championships in the NFL. They all start, I think they start at 3 and go till about 10 o'clock at night. I know a lot of you guys are football fans, everything like that. I know I want to watch the games, so we'll be coming here live next Sunday at 12 p.m. Eastern instead of 7 p.m. We'll also do the same thing with the Super Bowl. We'll come on at 12 that day and then do the and then let you guys go and watch the games and stuff like that. So tonight, man, we're going to talk about Sergey Kovalev testing positive for a banned substance. We'll tell you all about that and what he got popped for and all that other good stuff. But first, let's start with Tijuana, Mexico. Beep.
We don't fuck around in Mexico.
That's right, baby. Carlos Ocampo versus Abraham Juarez. We've been fightless for a couple of weeks now, and we only got to watch 79 seconds. Carlos Ocampo knocks out Abraham Juarez in just 79 seconds. No, he should have. I think Abraham Juarez had like 17 losses or something like that. So it was a complete setup type fight. But he did what he was supposed to do when he took him out early. You know, so what are you going to do? In Tokyo, Japan. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Carlos Ocampos is the guy that got knocked out by Spence, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, which explains why he was fighting, you know, I don't know. I mean, the guy he was fighting was, you know, I mean.
The guy he was fighting had more losses than the Bengals.
Well, the Bengals are a very good team. I mean, I'm just saying. You know, hey, let's talk about Cleveland Browns. How about them, man? You got to give them a shout-out today, man. They did very well. Should have won that game. I thought the refs really stuck it to them. Refs obviously cost them the game, you know, so what are you going to do, huh? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
All right. So, from Tokyo, Japan, Takuma Inoue versus Keita Kuihara. Inoue wins a technical decision when the fight was stopped in the ninth round. Scores were 90-81 and 89-82 twice. Beeb. Not much in the way of boxing, you know, not much in the way of boxing today, but yeah, what are you going to do, man? What are you going to do?
Nothing you can do.
Nope.
Nothing you can do.
That's all we can do. So, all right, let's talk about the upcoming fights, which I believe there's only one here, and that's going to be on January 23rd. Now, January 20th is from Uncasville, Connecticut, on Showtime. Yace Solano versus Myquan Williams, 10 rounds, junior welterweights. And then on the 23rd from Uncasville, Connecticut on Showtime, Angelo Leo versus Stephen Fulton, 12 rounds for Leo's WBO junior featherweight title. That should be a pretty good fight. Also on the show, Vic Pacias versus friend of the show, Raiz Aleem, 12 rounds for the vacant WBA junior featherweight title. Beeb, that's what he said. He said he was fighting for that. So, we'll see, man. I'm excited for him. Orlando Romero on there versus Justin Paldo. 12 rounds for Romero's WBA interim lightweight title. And that's about it. Now, on the 30th, Caleb Plant is going to fight Caleb Truex. I've already gotten reports that they're actually just already doing stuff on that fight on whatchamacallit on Fox right now. They're showing like
a lot of advertisements.
Yeah, they're showing Fox. A lot of advertisements. They do a lot of stuff for their fights, don't they?
They do a great job. They do a great job. And this is what I don't understand about fighters wanting to fight on Showtime or fighting on pay-per-view. Fox is the place to be where you're going to get the most eyeballs on you. You're going to get the most attention if you're a fighter. Because, like I said, everyone that has a television with rabbit ears, they don't even have to have a cable box. Everyone has Fox. And yeah. And they have so many sports shows on there. And in between the breaks at the sports shows, and even they have the fighters on, they just do a great job at really promoting these fights, these fighters, and just really hyping up these events. So I don't know why any fighter would not want to go on Fox if they had the choice.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, it really is. I mean, no. You get noticed on Fox. You're going to get the hype machine behind you. You'll probably be on the NFL shows or whatever they're doing that week. Fox does
all the
a
shows.
Great job. Yeah, Fox does a great job
they
putting
do
these guys out front. Once you get that Fox PR machine behind you, man, that's really hard to compete with. It really is. Really.
I agree.
So, all right. So, let's go to the news and rumors here. Sergey Kovalev tests positive for a banned substance. What's going on with this guy, man? Former light heavyweight champion Sergey Kovalev has reportedly tested positive for a banned substance, synthetic testosterone.
He's got the dirty pee-pee.
No announcement from Golden Boy or main events yet, but, there has been an announcement. Basically, the fight is off. They just announced that. The fight is actually off. Beck the Bully, this is a fight with Beck the Bully. Beck the Bully tweeted, "I don't like talking, but I said it last night. It makes no difference to me. Just put him in the ring. Let us fight regardless." Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. You know, no. I tell you, the thing is, man, this guy is his own worst enemy. He really is. He really is. I don't understand why he's still fighting at this point. He wasn't going to beat this guy. He wasn't going to beat Beck. I mean, there's no way. He's not going to beat him. You know, I thought it would have been an interesting fight, but that's why he's on the roids, you know. But, look, man, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, he just, to me, I think he ought to find something else to do. I really do, because I think he's done with, man. There's nothing left for him. I mean, if you're taking steroids, what is he? He's always 40. Is he close to? Yeah, I know he's close to 40, isn't he?
37.
You know, he hasn't had a good performance really in a bit. He was knocked out by Canelo. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he was going to get steamrolled by this kid.
He had a good victory over Anthony Yard.
He did.
You know, he won his title back against what's the guy that he got knocked out by, the Spanish guy there, the guy, the top ranked guy. He had the rematch and he beat him very decisively.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I just can't place him, but yeah, he fought him twice.
Fought him twice.
Yeah, we got knocked out the first time. You know,
knocked out the seventh round first time.
Yeah. Notorious said he was good against Yard and Alvarez. Yeah, we mentioned the Yard fight. He was good in that. And the Alvarez rematch, or
he had
the Alvarez
fight,
he had a good, but he was knocked out. He was knocked out like cold too. I mean, he was iced in that fight.
Yeah.
Elider Alvarez.
Yeah.
That's it. Elider Alvarez.
Yeah.
Are we giving him the ringside Robert retirement speech? Yeah, I think we are. At least I am. I'll tell you what, because again, I mean, if you're messing with steroids and everything like that, and that's how, I mean, you got to go, son. I mean, it's over for you. This isn't like a young guy getting caught with steroids. This guy's, you know, he was brought in here. Let's be honest. He was brought in here as an opponent, no?
Yeah, but here's the thing. You know, when these guys take these substances, I don't think they're injecting themselves. I think they're maybe going to clinics or something like that, or they may be having somebody in the camp injecting them or whatever. Who's giving them the advice? Like if you're in that camp and you're like the enabler, and you're like, there's always somebody that knows what's going on in the camp. You can't just sneak it by somebody in the camp. So there had to have been, in my opinion, an accomplice. There has to be an accomplice. you know, and someone's an enabler. And someone's in someone had to be in his ear. So, you know, I just think that these guys have to be smarter. They have to know better. And even if they're getting information, they have to know. They just have to know. They have to know what's going on. They have to know what's going on. They have to be smarter. They have to make better choices. They have to know that this stuff is not going to go undetected at this point. They have to see how strict the drug testing is, right? And then you got third-party organizations doing the drug testing along with the commission. There's just so many hurdles that you have to go, you know, get through to get away with it. So is it really worth it in the long run? So now he's probably going to get suspended for a year, maybe two. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and then where do you go? I mean, now it's time to hang it up because you're not going to fight in a year.
Yeah, you're not getting any younger.
Right.
You know, you're just putting yourself in a worse situation. You're not weighing out the pros and cons of the situation. You're not. And who's to say he was even going to win anyway? Like, taking the substance doesn't guarantee you a victory anyways.
No. Uh-uh.
Right?
No, it really doesn't.
And I said this before. I was on D Styles' podcast earlier in the week. And when you get older, everyone thinks that this TRT stuff is great. But there's so many side effects. It increases the red blood cell count in your blood. Makes your blood thick.
Well, you have to
People who are,
you know,
give blood. You have to give blood.
They tell
you.
Right.
Yep. You're probably going to have to give blood maybe twice a month or once a month at least.
Yeah.
So you don't have a stroke because your blood pressure goes up,
yep.
Your cholesterol, it just speeds everything up. So you're robbing from one area to give to another.
Right.
There's always trade-offs to this stuff. So again,
synthetic testosterone, and like the clinics and stuff. Like when you go to like those clinics or whatever, it's like real testosterone. I think they give you, but this was the synthetic stuff, like the growth or the just regular good old fashioned steroids, whatever you want to do, man. It's just not, you know, like you said, and Suleiman said in the chat, yeah, they cheat because they want to win. I get that, but. At some point, there's going to become a period of diminishing returns because now he's caught. That's a heck of a risk to take. Now he's caught. Now he's got to go wait out a year, you know. I think it was Dwayne who asked me about the criminal case, whatever happened to the Kovalev criminal case. And they settled it. I can't remember what the terms were, but I do know they settled it. So that's why he was able to fight and everything like that. But it was settled. I'm sure it was settled for money. But Lion Killer, thanks so much, man. He said, keep up the
fire. You're right about the endogenous testosterone as opposed to the synthetic, because the synthetic is, you know, it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
So again, you're putting something synthetic in your body. You don't know what type of effect it's going to have on you.
No,
at least with the endogenous, at least with the endogenous testosterone, okay, another thing is it'll shut down your regular testosterone production. So then when you come off it, no, then you can't get erections anymore, and then everything just gets fucked up. Your whole system gets destroyed. So, again, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Lion Killer Podcast, thank you so much. He said, keep up the fire. Joe, I texted you earlier, was talking about TRT with Vitor Belfort this morning. Let me tell you what, I think that guy knows a thing or two about TRT. That guy, I tell you what, man, that guy was amazing deep into his career. So that guy looks like a very strong guy. He looks like a superhero, man. You look at him, he's like cut out of granite, man. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone and see what they have to say. Let's go to 718 Brooklyn. 718, you're live. Then again, maybe you're not.
Yeah.
All right. Oh.
That's Suleiman.
Hello.
Gotcha. Suleiman, is that you?
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, how you guys doing? How you guys doing? Listen, you guys must be happy that
Suleiman, you know the field, Suleiman. When you call in, you better wake up. You better wake up when you call in. You know the deal. You know the deal, bro. You've been a veteran. You're a veteran caller. You know the deal. You gotta wake up.
Yeah, man. Yo, listen, Mahmoud Charles fighting on the 29th, man. I don't know, man. I want him to win this fight, man. So they could. I'm saying you got some talking about him. Huh?
Pay-per-view. He's on pay-per-view. I believe on the 27th, right?
Yeah, Mahmoud Chaz.
It's on pay-per-view, brother. You buying it? You going to buy it?
Huh?
It's on stream pay-per-view. It's on stream pay-per-view. Why would it be canceled?
I heard it's lying.
How come the fight might be canceled? I think we drive and we lost him. Yeah, we lost him.
It sounded like he was talking. He was calling in from a tunnel.
Yeah. So the Manuel Char fight, he's going to fight on a Don King's promoting that whole thing. And the fight's going to be on pay-per-view for, I think, $45. And it's going to be, like, streamed. It's going to be like a stream type of pay-per-view. I don't know. I mean, would you consider either one of those guys the heavyweight champion?
No. No.
I wouldn't either.
Again, I like Mike Tyson's perspective, and I like other people's perspective, about the belts, how it gives a lot of fighters opportunities to make money.
Yeah.
But it's just, as a fan, it's just a pain in the ass having to have all these different fighters having different titles and trying to make sense of all this.
Right.
But again, you know, everybody really knows who the real champion is. Like, we know Tyson Fury's the real champion, in my opinion. I'd say 99% of the people. Most people know Teofimo Lopez is the real champion, you know.
Right.
People know who the real champion. People think, you know, pretty much know Beterbiev is the champion.
Right.
I think we can make an argument. Canelo's the champion right now at 168, but you know.
I think it's one of those things. It's like I always say, though, like, if you're the fighter itself who's getting this belt, no question you think you're the champion. If you've got a belt around your waist and it's a major organization, it's the title, whether it's interim, whether it's whatever, you can call yourself the champion.
Yeah. You don't lose the right to call yourself the champion, you know. People will call you a belt holder, and
right.
We know who the lineal champs are.
Yeah.
All right, we'll put you back on, Suleiman.
Yeah,
you got to call back in.
I got you. He's right here.
Don't call us on a trap phone, though. You got to call us on a legitimate line here.
Suleiman, you're live.
Hey, how you guys doing? Mahmoud has been on the ropes on the bench for like over 3 years. He's constantly training. He's real popular on the Eastern European circuit, especially the German circuit. I would like to see this guy fight, even though he's the number one ranked fighter. He has that belt, the regular belt. He has a fraction of the WBA. I would like to see him, like, win this fight, unify with the interim champion, and move on to bigger and better things. All these other second tier fighters are ducking him. Everybody's fighting him. All the fighters are not fighting him. He's real popular, but he's an Arab, you know, Lebanese guy. You know, you're Lebanese, Habib. You should be a big fan of this guy. This guy should have had a good fight a while back.
That's
you
right.
Know he should have had
that's
a good
right.
fight a while back,
tell
man.
Him.
Lebanese
you know
power.
I mean,
Lebanese power.
Come on, man. You gotta be realistic. The guy could box. He could move. I mean, he's a threat. Look, how about if he would have fought Joshua at that time in the MSG, right? And he would have upset him. We wouldn't be talking about this right now, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so
okay,
this guy, he was talented.
Let me jump in here real quick, Suleiman. Okay, so the fight is going to be on January 29th, it looks like. Yeah, January 29th. And it's going to have three. It's going to be on donking.com. And the price is not $45, it's $19.95. Not bad. And I mean, they got decent fights on there. I mean, nothing crazy. He's going to face Trevor Bryan. It's not a bad fight.
Can I ask you a question, Eric?
Sure.
Do I get a Dunkin' Donuts gift card with that?
Oh, stop it,
buy that pay-per-view?
He's trying to what's the matter with you? This guy's fighting for the title. So disrespectful.
Yeah, but you see, that's a double standard with Char that I don't like. Everybody makes fun of Char. He's a heavyweight, right? But then a Gervonta Davis has the same belt in a lower division, and everybody's saying that he's the next thing since I'm
that's
red.
I got to give you props when you bring the fire. That was a great comeback.
No, but Char got the belt for 3 years.
That was a good comeback. You got to teach Georgie how to debate.
Yeah, I know.
Like
you
got to
teach
that's
Georgie,
such a
but
good
you should
comeback.
Give me more air time. You know what I'm saying? You should give me more air time. And then the other undefeated heavyweight that's kind of old, he's going to be fighting Bermain Stavern. That's going to be a good watch. If that guy has any power behind him, he scored all knockouts. If that guy has any... If the guy that fights Bermain Stavey and knocks him out nice, he's going to open a lot of doors for him. You know what I'm saying? This undefeated heavyweight that he said that done. Huh?
No, I was just saying,
okay,
I agree
so
with
yo,
you.
Guys,
that's going to be a decent fight.
Let me see. So also this other thing, like with Gervonta, everybody's dissing Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia is much taller than Gervonta's, bro. And he got a hell of a left hook.
Right.
If he catches Gervonta, Gervonta's been picking out small dudes. He hasn't been fighting no true lightweights. If the kid cracks with that left hook, you know what I'm saying?
I've
that kid is really fast. He might.
I agree.
If he tags him fast early, bro, I think it's a lot for Gervonta. He picks up that belt. You know what I'm saying? I want to see Ryan Garcia be the top lightweight fighter and be another carbon copy of Oscar De La Hoya, my favorite fighter, and move on to bigger and better things. Yo, guys, thanks a lot for letting me burn for a minute, man. You guys have a blessed evening, man, and God bless you all. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Suleiman. Thank you so much, man. He's got a point. He's got a lot
that's
of good
point.
Points. That's a good point about Manuel Charles. We jump all over him, but you're right. He's got the same belt as, yeah.
He put me in my place with that one. See, now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you call in and you make good points, you get props for it. Don't be like Georgie and just call and scream and yell and make no sense when you talk.
Stop it,
bitch. Suleiman made a good point.
He's caller of the year.
He made a good point.
He's caller of the year.
Stipulation.
All right, next caller here doesn't choose to give us a number. Mysterious caller. 1111111, go.
How's it going, mate?
Who are we talking to?
How you all doing out there? How you all doing out
good.
There?
Good, who are we
good?
Speaking with? We're good,
speaking
who are we speaking
with? With Tony from London.
Tony from London, how are you, buddy?
Tony, where you been, brother? How you been?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I spoke to you guys a couple of times in the past.
Yeah. What was New York last time you talked to us? You were in New York last time.
Yeah, you got a good memory, mate.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's right.
I remember that.
Yeah, so what's up?
What's up? What do you think about what's going on lately in the sport of boxing?
What are we talking about right now? What's the subject?
Sergey Kovalev
testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs, PEDs. What's your opinion on that?
Listen, I really do think, yeah, when you get fighters and they get caught, and they get caught because they don't take the drugs the correct way, it goes to show me how many fighters are actually on enhanced drugs, right? Because if you look at it, a lot of these guys, athletes, they take these enhanced drugs. They know when to come off of it, and they also know when not to take it. So a lot of them don't get caught. And that goes to show me that everybody in the boxing world, you can see there's a lot of cheating in our sport. That's just because he's been caught. But look at all the fighters who don't get caught. So he might be the guinea pig of we're trying to look at him and say, look at him cheating. But what he shows us, it's other people are doing the same fucking thing. And it's just that, I don't know if you guys know, but you know as a nutritionist, your nutritionist knows what to give you at the right time, at the right place. That's why Alex Caruso, I think that's his name from America, Alex, he used to know what to give his athlete.
Correct.
Because he could work with, yeah, because don't forget, you're working with the people in UCAD, US, what's that, the drug, what's that?
USADA, VADA,
VADA,
USADA,
UCAD, and VADA.
UCAD.
Yeah, USADA, VADA, these people, they work with you and they give you emails to all the people what you can use and what you can't use. And then they're constantly changing the things that you are allowed to use and they change the dosages that you're allowed to use. So I do believe a lot of these athletes that we look up to, some of them do use these kind of enhanced drugs. It's whether you get caught or not. That's the luck or the bad luck. What do you think of that?
Good point.
I agree, man. I think a lot of these guys, I'd love to see a stat. I'd love to, you know, of course we'll never see it, but I wonder exactly how many guys are actually doing this? Is it massive like a lot of people suspect that everybody's using?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You don't think we have a clean sport, Beep? What's the matter with you?
Nah, come on, bro.
I mean, people.
I don't know. I'm kind of in there, too.
Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, people also have.
If, if we just randomly texted all these fighters, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, Floyd Mayweather, they said that Floyd Mayweather was also using. What did he use at one time? And then they let him off. Was it there was something that he used, even Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, the Xylo.
I can't remember.
He's using the Xylocaine. He was getting Xylocaine injections in his hands, which is only legal in Las Vegas.
That's why he only fought in Las Vegas. Yeah, that's why he would only fight there.
Then he had the IV in there before the Pacquiao fight.
Perfect. Yeah.
Then he had the IV. He took the IV. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's things that you can get away with because Floyd Mayweather had a big relationship with VADA. And Floyd Mayweather used to pay $100,000 for
drugs. No, USADA.
Other fighters.
He had a relationship with USADA. USADA.
Yeah, he had a very good relationship with them. And he used to pay them $130,000. I just checked on the internet.
Yeah.
And other fighters used to pay $30,000 to $50,000.
Every fight.
Yeah.
And he used to pay them all that money, huh?
Yeah. I mean, look, if you've got a relationship, I'm sure you can work things out with a corporation company.
Well,
absolutely.
Well,
I mean, we're not saying.
Let me just jump in real quick and say this. It wasn't a coincidence that all of his fights, everyone else was using VADA at the time, and he was using USADA. That wasn't a coincidence, right?
Facts.
Who does the UFC use? They use USADA.
They use USADA too.
Yeah. Because they catch a lot of people.
Yeah, but, well, VADA catches most people. USADA kind of lets – they've made mistakes before, especially in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And look, guys, you guys seem like very, very educated and, you know, mature men. I have a relationship with my property real estaters. I'm in property business. I know sometimes what I need to buy for them in Christmas. I know what kind of Rolex I need to buy for them. I know when I need to take him and his wife with my family for dinner. I know how to keep those relationships. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
100%. 100%. You know how the business world works.
Yep.
Politics and everything, brother. Politics and everything.
Yeah. So I think most of these fighters do use some kind of a drug or enhanced drugs because your human body gives up at certain points. You can only do so much. But they do train like fucking animals. Every single one of these guys is an elite athlete.
They do,
but sometimes you need something. You need something because, you know, it helps you within your performances. I do believe Kovalev's not the only one. Let's not just shit on Kovalev. I think most of these athletes are using enhanced drugs. It's just a matter of if you get caught or not. Look, I love boxing. My older son's in boxing, but I've got to keep it real. You know, at the end of the day, you know steroids are being offered and enhanced drugs from when you're a young kid. It is what it is. You know, how do you think you
Let me ask you a quick question.
So low? Yeah, sorry.
Let me ask you a quick question before we jump off here. Real quick, you're calling from London. What app are you using to call?
I'm using a phone card.
A phone card, okay.
It's like a card.
One of our guys in the chat wanted to know.
Like units. You know when you buy units?
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
You spend $5 and you can use the units.
Absolutely, man. Well, listen, man, thank you so much. We appreciate your take. And, man, don't be a stranger. Call back in, man. It's been too long. Hang on one sec. Hold on one second. I'll bring him back on.
Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, one last thing before I go. Deontay Wilder has been making a lot of negative press, and all the Wilder fans and all these channels in America, what we've been watching, it looks like they're becoming a heart attack. It looks like they're all in a coma now. At the end of the day, Deontay Wilder has really fooled a lot of people. And I think because of people saying that he's going to take a step aside money, I think him and Shelley Finkel, Al Haymon, knew all the time what they were going to do next. That's just my view. Eddie Hearn,
they knew they weren't getting the fight.
Yeah, I'm just keeping it real. Hey, you guys keep it going, man. We're watching you from the back.
All right, man. We appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute, Beeb. So you said there's you had read somewhere there's mediation going on, and the mediation now. By the way, thank you so much, D-Style.
Over.
Appreciate it. What's that?
Thank you, D-Style.
And they wanted.
What I heard was
go ahead. I'm sorry.
What I heard was the mediation's over, and now they're just deciding what was asked for in the mediation now is if he wasn't going to get the fight, he wants money. He wants to be compensated for missing out on the revenue that he would have got for the fight.
Right.
So now the mediation's over. Now they're just waiting to make a decision on whether or not they should get paid anything.
Shouldn't get paid
now,
anything.
I'm curious. Yeah, I don't think he should get paid anything. I mean, so he's going to get paid for a fight that didn't happen, but Tyson Fury doesn't. So in other words, if he's going to get paid for a fight that doesn't happen, then Tyson Fury's going to get paid for a fight that doesn't happen.
Remember when he was going to fight Povetkin, Deontay Wilder, when he was going to go to Russia and fight Povetkin?
That fight
was going to happen, and Povetkin popped, and, you know, Wilder wanted compensation for that. I get that. That's no, you know, hey, listen, I get that. He carried his end of the deal, and Povetkin did not carry his end of the deal. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't understand, like, you know, I don't know. I don't understand, like, this doesn't make any sense because he could have taken the fight. He just didn't.
Well, again, Aram kept talking about, we got to wait for the live gate, this, that, and the third. But he just was not really assertive enough, and his team was not assertive enough in trying to get this fight happen, to make it happen. They weren't assertive enough. They went quiet for too long. You know, Shelley Finkel, I'm so surprised at his whole tenure with Team Wilder, because this is a guy who was with Klitschko for years. He was with Mike Tyson for years. He was with Evander Holyfield for years. Pernell Whitaker, Meldrick Taylor. He was the manager of Mark Breland. That's how he got brought into the camp through Mark Breland.
Who?
Who's
Mark Breland?
Who was once Wilder's trainer. But so this guy has a ton of experience. He's a smart guy. But the way he's handled Wilder's career has been horrendous. You know, it's been horrendous. I just don't think he's up to the times with the current state of boxing. I think he's like him and Don King are like dinosaurs. They don't get how boxing has evolved, how social media and things are just different with all these digital platforms now. Like, everything is different. Boxing has advanced light years ahead of what it used to be. And these guys just haven't got up to speed with that.
Well,
and,
you know,
the way Shelley Finkel has been asleep at the wheel throughout Deontay Wilder's career, not only in dealing with the Joshua situation, but the way he dealt with this Fury situation. He should have been on the phone with Bob Arum every day.
Awful.
What's going on with the fight? What's going on with the fight? What's going on with the fight?
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that it didn't happen. You know, you kind of wonder, but was it his fault, though? You know, you got to figure, was it Finkel's fault? Was it really his fault, or was it Wilder's fault? Maybe Wilder just didn't want that fight. And maybe Finkel says, okay, well, let's do this in the court of public opinion. It'll look like this, you know? I don't know. I get the feeling that he never wanted the fight. That's what I get the feeling on.
You know, you make a good point. You know what it is? All these fans on YouTube, all these cult members that he has now, I think they were gassing him up, and they just kept gassing him up. So what you're seeing now is basically a product of what the fans did. You know, you're seeing the repercussions. They gassed him up, and now he's just their mouthpiece right now, which is sad, which is sad.
You know,
you got these.
Yeah, I mean, well, you're right. You're 100% right. And I mean, you kind of wonder where he went, you know, as far as like him not wanting. I mean, we called this a long time ago, Beeb. We called this a long time ago about how there was big flaws in his game and this and that. And he's not really doing anything to correct them. And as soon as he runs up against a guy who he can't knock out, he loses the fight, and he loses it miserably. He loses, lost twice, in my opinion. You know, you can't. I don't even know that the first one's really debatable that he lost. You know, I don't get it though, man. I don't get it. Yeah. We talked about Shelley Finkel kind of being a dinosaur in the fight world. Let's talk about this for a minute. Let's talk about Top Rank and Bob Arum. Okay. Now, you brought this to my attention today. Beeb sent me an article today from the Sporting News back when Errol Spence and Sean Porter fought. And each one of them were guaranteed $2 million. They were both guaranteed $2 million. And then I can't remember if they were both guaranteed like a cut of the pay-per-view or whatever the case may be, but they were both guaranteed $2 million. Maybe one had an upside on the pay-per-view. Maybe they didn't. He offered Sean Porter to fight Terrence Crawford. He offered Sean Porter, the rumor was, $1 million. What are you doing? You know he's not going to take. Why do we play this game? I don't understand why this game gets played. You offered Cal Brook, what did Cal Brook, $2-3 million to fight Terrence Crawford?
$2-3 million. Yeah, $2-3 million.
And
yeah.
He's on his way out, son. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he's on his way out. He's had some rough fights. He's on his way out. All right? So why would you offer Sean Porter? And I'm not Sean Porter's biggest fan, but I mean, listen, man. I mean, he can fight, okay? He's a top contender, top guy. Why would you offer him $2 million? And you know that's gonna be a bigger fight than Kell Brook. Why would you offer him $1 million? Why lowball him like that?
So this is the problem with Bob Arum, okay? And I respect Bob Arum to death. He's been in the game forever. You can't not respect the guy. But he's just does it like when it like, – let me just get into this now. So this is a statement from him. Because of COVID, everybody's got to take less money, right?
Yeah.
That includes the promoter too. So, again, these guys are fighters. They make money for themselves. They don't have the luxury of Bob Arum like Bob Arum has. He has a whole bunch of fighters. So maybe you break even on one fight and you make money on the next fight. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you have to take losses too. And you're not, you know, you're getting money from ESPN. You got the deal with ESPN. That's, you know, it's not like you're digging into your own pockets and you're losing money. Now, you yourself as a promoter want to be making the same amount of money that you were making pre-COVID, percentage-wise, right? It's not going to happen. You're going to take L's now. And if you expect the fighters to take L's, you got to take L's. And again, sooner or later, possibly by the end of the year, okay, we're going to get a live crowd. Things are going to turn around. You know, you've made tons of money, Bob Arum, okay? You're worth $200 million, okay? These guys got to put food on the table, all right? And these guys, one punch can turn out the lights and change everything, and their career's over. You're not taking the punches, okay? I don't begrudge these guys for asking for the money that they want, okay? Bob Arum has fury. You're not going to take a loss possibly with the Crawford Porter fight, but you may not get a lot of back end money on that if you buy Barham, right? But think about this, Eric. What do you have right around the corner? You got Fury Joshua right around the corner, so you're making up on that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Terrence Crawford and Sean Porter don't have that luxury, because if whoever loses that fight, they go to the back of the line again. And then the paychecks get smaller. Bob Arum's paychecks don't get smaller. He's not taking a loss. He's not putting his record on the line. So he may break even one fight, but just make it up the next fight. Think about all the fights he promotes in the course of a year. These guys are negotiating for one fight. Okay, they fight maybe once, twice a year tops. Most of them fight once a year. If they're lucky, they fight twice a year. And only one of the fights is a big fight. The other one's usually a kind of a stay busy or a tune-up. So these guys are banking on one big payday a year, okay? Bob Arum, because he has all these fighters, he has so many ways to recoup his losses.
he can get multiple big paydays throughout the course of the year. So don't just sit there and talk about how these fighters need to take less money. You need to take less money too. And if anyone should take less money, it should be you, because you're not taking the fucking punches. You're not taking the punches.
One of the things that, you know, let's go back to that article for a minute. And, you know, they got $2 million each guaranteed. So they got more money than that. I guarantee that. But that was with crowd. They had a crowd. It was on pay-per-view. I get it. And you could say, if I'm Bob Arum, I could say, but the first thing I would say is, well, they got $2 million, but there was a crowd there, blah, blah, blah. But you just paid Kell Brook $2 or $3 million to fight Crawford in front of an empty audience.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Wasn't that Porter Spence fight pay-per-view?
Porter Spence fight was pay-per-view, yeah.
So they got back-end money, too.
Yeah.
They got back-end money, too. They probably got $3 or $4, maybe even $5 million each.
And the Crawford,
right?
Yeah, right. And the Crawford fight is going to be a pay-per-view as well. So, and we don't know the terms. Again, we don't know the terms. We only know what's being reported, and 9 times out of 10, they don't know the terms. But if it's to be believed, $1 million, you know, you got to wonder about back end money and everything. I don't know. I don't know any of that. But if it's to be believed, $1 million is a very low ball offer for saying you cannot claim COVID on this one, because you just paid a guy, you know, to fight an empty arena for more than that. So that's less of a draw. Let me ask you a question. Bob Arum said this not too long ago, that Terrence Crawford is kind of a liability and everything when it comes to drawing money. He can't draw
That's
money.
Fucking disgrace.
It really is.
Talk about your fighter. It's stupid. It's so stupid to talk about a fight like that.
Is this a way that he's, you know, listen, I'm not going to do very much for this guy. I want him out. Is this kind of his way of making sure that this is kind of his last fight here?
He's pushing him out the door.
Yeah.
He's basically telling them that you're not welcome here anymore. As soon as your contract is up, we're not going to re-sign you.
That's kind of what it is. Yeah, that's what I'm leaning toward. I don't know for sure, but that's kind of what it sounds
all
like.
All we got to do is look at the history. Every time a fighter left him, they always made more money. De La Hoya,
Mayweather.
Cotto got the Mayweather fight when he wasn't with Top Rank. He got the Canelo fight when he wasn't with Top Rank.
Yeah.
So all these guys that leave, why do all these guys do better when they leave them? Why?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna say one other thing. This is the problem I have now with promoters. Because everybody's saying these fighters need to learn how to promote themselves, right? Promoters never said that before this social media era,
right?
Just because you see fighters out there on social media and like Ryan Garcia, Tyson Fury, you see guys out there doing a lot of things on social media, and they're making a lot of headway doing that. So you know what the promoters are doing now? They're seeing this. And it makes them get lazy. They say, well, why should we do all the work when they can go out there and use their social media networks? So it's basically they're giving themselves a reason not to hustle anymore. So like King used to hustle back in the day. May he rest in peace. Dan Duva used to hustle back in the day. Russell Peltz hustled.
Yeah.
Bob's heart's not in it anymore. It's not in it anymore. He wants to pay. He wants to delegate everything now. He doesn't want to be hands on.
He says without Beeb or without Bob, none of these dudes become superstars that they are either. I get it. It's a double sided coin. It really is. But for a guy like Terrence Crawford, who's not a big star, who's a bigger star, Beeb, Errol Spence, or Terrence Crawford?
Errol Spence,
by far, right? Everybody knows who Errol Spence is. Nobody knows
why
who
do you
Terrence
think that
Crawford
is, though? Why do you think that is, though?
PBC, Fox, him being on TV, him being promoted,
Now, let me ask you. Let me ask you a question. Does Errol Spence go around with a megaphone and promote himself? And is he really crazy active on social media?
I was just about to say that. Errol Spence,
so
I love him, but he doesn't have a great personality. I'm sure he's got a great personality if you hang out with him. But as far as media goes, he's not outgoing.
He's not outgoing. Neither one of these guys are outgoing.
No.
Marvin Hagler wasn't outgoing.
No.
Manny Pacquiao's not outgoing.
Out there, you know? Yeah.
Manny Pacquiao's not outgoing. There's a lot of fighters that just aren't talkers. Why should these guys reinvent themselves and be something they're not and come off as disingenuous? It's beautiful when you got a guy who's good on the mic. It's beautiful when you got a guy like Prince Nassim Ahmed. It's beautiful when you got a guy like Ryan Garcia who's got 8 million Instagram followers. But that's an added benefit you get as a promoter. That's not a prerequisite. That's icing on the cake. That doesn't mean that you should expect every fighter to have that. And that means that you don't have to do your job as a promoter. They got lazy. Promoters got lazy. They got lazy because of the social media that we have right now. Okay? They see fighters out there doing their job for them, and now they think that they don't have to work as hard anymore. And that's a fucking problem. It's a problem.
You know,
what did Bob Arum do for him? What did Bob Arum actually do for Terrence Crawford? What's he organizing? What is he doing for Terrence Crawford?
Who do you think his next fight's going to be? Because I guarantee it ain't going to be against Porter. Not going to be against Spence. Not going to be against anybody. It'll be against a mid-range guy, and that'll be his last fight on there. Terrence Crawford's going to get another year older, and then he's going to go over to PBC and fight those guys over there. I mean, that's just the way it is. He's, for whatever reason, I don't know why, he can't go across the street and organize with those guys. He just, I don't get it, man. Yeah, D-Style brought up a great point, too. Canelo, not trash-talking. He's not cutting promos. He's 100% right. 100% right. But Canelo is outgoing. No. Canelo's outgoing, man, because on the Mexican stations, he's always on the news there. You know.
Got a lot of sponsors.
Got a lot of sponsors.
Does commercials. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So he's huge in Mexico, you know, and, I mean, that gives him a following here, too.
And then Bob Arum comes out and criticizes Keith Thurman because Keith Thurman trashed him. He blitzed him. He torched him on social media, and he torched him in like an article he's being interviewed.
Yeah, talk to me about that a little bit. What happened with that whole thing?
He was really insulting Bob Arum on how he pays the fighters, how cheap he is, how he tries to do the fighters dirty.
Yeah.
He said the same thing I basically said on how all these fighters leave him and end up making more money than they did when they were with him. And then Bob Arum comes out and says, oh, I'm surprised Keith Thurman talked about me like that. Why does he have an axe to grind with me? But meanwhile, you come out and you trash Guillermo Rigondeaux when you had Guillermo Rigondeaux. Guillermo Rigondeaux just beat Nonito Donaire in impressive fashion.
Yeah.
And what does Bob Arum do after that victory? He shelves them, puts them on the shelf and talks shit about him and says he's boring. That fight was awesome.
Yeah.
The fight was incredible.
It was
right?
Domination, man.
You're the promoter. And then he sits there and talks shit about, openly talks shit about Terrence Crawford. You don't dog your fighters like that. And then when he had Floyd Mayweather, Floyd Mayweather has delusions of grandeur. He thinks he's worth more than he really is. He thinks he should be getting more money than he really deserves.
Right.
You don't say those things about your fighters in public, okay? That would be like me having a microphone stuck in my face, Channel 5 maybe down in front of City Hall one day or something. They ask me a question about the mayor, and I start trashing the mayor. I wouldn't do that. Why would I do that? Makes no sense. It's just stupid. How does that make your promotional company better? How does that make your fighters better? How does that improve the situation by openly talking trash, airing out your dirty laundry to the press? Like, how does that make your situation better?
Hey, listen, man, I tell you what, I've never heard PBC trash a fighter. I've never heard anybody in that organization trash a fighter. Nacho is on the Bob wagon. He says, Crawford's been overpaid since becoming a bigger star. Since, let's see here, He's overpaid. He's talking about Crawford here, since he's become a bigger star with him, and I doubt he would have been paid by the PBC what Top Rank has given him. Maybe.
I disagree with that 100%. I disagree with that 100%. 100% I disagree with that. How could Terrence Crawford be overpaid? He's the best fighter in the sport, arguably.
Undisputed.
And he's overpaid?
Yeah, was undisputed champion.
I mean, come on. He was the undisputed unified champion at 140, and he went up to 147 and won a belt there. And he beat the guy that beat Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, and then now he's kind of stonewalled here because all the other champs are on the other side of the street. So, you know, and there's plenty of Bob Arum says, well, there's plenty of guys from the fight. You're right. There are plenty of guys from the fight. Nobody wants to watch those fights, though. So there you go. All right, let's talk about AJ and Fury, Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury. Eddie Hearn says that the heavyweight unification showdown is a done deal. This is according to Eddie. Quote, this is a done deal, really, without being signed. Hearn told the London Times, the financial elements of the deal are done. We're talking through the broadcast situation. The only thing we need now is to paper it. The match, I guess the bout is most likely to land in the Middle East. And he said he hopes to stage a rematch in the UK, I guess given the fact that by that time, vaccines and everything, they should have a live crowd there. But the Middle East is about where we expected this to go. It's a big fight. It sounds like it's done. According to Eddie, it's done. It just has to be, you know, papered out and signed. But it's very close to happening. Everything I'm reading is it's very close to happening. This is a big one. This is for all the marbles, man.
Well, Bob Arum was being interviewed by Barbershop Conversations, and he even said they had a location, but he wouldn't disclose the location. So
it's got to be the
once place. Again, I don't know. It could be. It could be. I think it's going to be Vegas, to be perfectly honest with you, Bob. It could be Middle East, but I think it's going to be Vegas. I have a feeling it's going to be it's a Vegas fight, bro. It's a Vegas fight.
Yeah, but you can pack it in the Middle East. You can't really pack it
Can they do a full capacity live crowd in the Middle East right now without any restrictions?
I would imagine, but I don't know. I don't know that for certain, no. But that's why I would imagine the fight's going in the Middle East. Because even if they don't, they're going to pay for that fight. They love Anthony Joshua in the Middle East. I mean, they love him. You know, he's a big draw over there. He'll be the favorite. He'll be the house fighter, put it that way. So yeah, man, I think it goes to the Middle East. I really do. I think there's a lot of money in the Middle East. I don't know what they think. Didn't they just like put up a structure to host that Ruiz fight in the Middle East?
Yeah.
How much money does that cost?
I mean, you could be right. But let me just say this too. This just goes to show and speak to the incompetence of Team Wilder and Shelley Finkel. How is this fight so easy to make? And Wilder was going back and forth with Joshua for years, and they couldn't make the fight.
Well, I'm telling you, I think, well, you know, if going back to the Fury fight, I don't know that it was Shelley Finkel's incompetence. I just don't think Wilder wanted the fight.
Team Wilder's incompetence. The whole team over there.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Wilder is supposed to be the captain of that ship. He hired everybody that's around him. I understand that. So, of course, he has to deal with some of the blame.
Well, but, hey, look, man, Lou DiBella gave him the Anthony Joshua fight. According to Lou DiBella, he had a two-fight contract on the zone, or three-fight contract on the zone with Anthony Joshua.
Two-fight contract, whatever. And that's why Lou DiBella's not there anymore, because they were mad at him because Lou DiBella spoke out and said that he should have taken the deal.
Sure. Why not?
You know?
And then Mark Breland didn't think you should be something. Now he's out of the game. You know, he's out of the court.
Yeah, so maybe you're right. Maybe you're right all along. Maybe it is him. It's got to be. Maybe it is him.
Yeah.
We keep making excuses. We keep making, well, it seems like I'm trying to keep making excuses for the guy, but maybe it's just him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
maybe,
like...
Maybe he really doesn't want the fights.
Right. That's the thing, man. I've always felt that way. I really have. I don't know that he really wanted the Joshua fight. I think he would have done very well in the Joshua fight. He might have won the fight. You know? I don't know. But I've always thought that. I've always thought that about Wilder, man, that there's something there. that, you know, and you know, you think about it logically, he's making what, 8 to 10, you know, 6 to 10 million a fight, I guess. You know, but Joshua's over there making what, 30 million? 30 million a fight? Why not fight that guy? You know?
Yep.
Why not fight that
guy? It's crazy. It's crazy.
So I'm still picking Tyson Fury to win that fight. I think Fury outboxes him fairly easily. I don't think he puts Joshua away. I think he can hurt him. I think he can, but I think he's just going to be more apt to box him. I like AJ. I like AJ a lot. AJ's always been one of my favorites. But the thing is, man, I don't know. He just, he can't, but nobody, I don't see anybody boxing with Fury. I just think Fury's the best boxer. He could be the best boxer in boxing now. You know, I'm really high on this guy, man. He can box. AJ can box too, but he can't. I just think Fury's just better. And you put that, you know, 6'6", 6'7" frame on him. You know, I think it's going to be very difficult. I think it's going to be really difficult for Joshua here. I really do. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll be real curious to see what kind of game plan Joshua pulls out. Because he has shown, if nothing else, he's adaptable. He has shown, if nothing else, he's very adaptable, and that's a big deal. Because he can take criticism clearly. Because after that Ruiz fight, you know, he got a bunch of it, and a lot of it came from his own people. And they said, hey, you know, we got to do something different this time around. You can't just go in and do this or that. And he did. He completely. What impressed me about him is he completely changed his game plan for that fight. It was an Anthony Joshua that you'd never seen before. Completely reworked it. If he can do it once, he can do it again. He can do it again for Tyson Fury. So I wouldn't count AJ out. Like I said, man, I favor Tyson Fury in that fight, but I don't know. You know, I wouldn't count out AJ, though, man. I would not count that guy out.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Oh, look at you. Not even give him any credit.
I don't know. If that Joshua that shows
up
for these last two fights that he had against Fury, I think Fury stops him.
Fury looked really good.
I think
good.
Fury stops.
Fury is so good, though.
Fury,
right?
Fury looks like when Fury's up for a fight, he's just on another stratosphere when you compare him to these other fighters.
Yeah, he's so good. Once he gets going, man, he's just so good. You know, well, wasn't the Wallen fight where he was cutting the second round? The Otto Wallen fight where he was cutting the second round? I mean,
yeah.
Deep gash. And they'll win it every single round after that. And everyone's talking about, oh, well, look at him, he got cut. And he won every single round in that fight. It wasn't even a factor. You know? I mean, it was insane. It really was.
Yeah.
Some upcoming fights to announce here. Jamel Herring versus Carl Frampton set for February 27th. Beeb, I like Carl Frampton in that fight, and I like him big. I'm not a big Jamel Herring guy. I don't think that he's – I hate saying overrated or anything like that, but they put a lot of stock into this guy. And I don't really understand why. And maybe he knocks out Frampton or maybe he beats him soundly. But I don't see it happening. Steve, what are your thoughts on this one?
I like Herring's size. I like his ability to fight on the inside. I actually like Herring in the fight, to be honest with you. I think I think Frampton's getting a little bit long in the tooth right now. I think he's slowing down. I think he's becoming easier to hit. And this fight, is it the right place, the right time? You know, it's just the right time for Herring. I think Herring's a grinder on the inside. He's a tough, rugged fighter on the inside. And I think he knows how to impose as well. I think he knows how to really rough guys up on the inside. You know, I think a lot of people sleep on Herring. I'm not going to say he's the best in the division. I'm not going to sit there and say that, you know, he would run that division. There's a lot of guys I think would beat him. But I don't think this is one of the guys that would beat him right now, in my opinion.
Wow. That might be a pie bet for us, babe. That might be a pie bet for us. That might be a good one. Matchroom has announced its upcoming schedule. February 13th, Josh Warrington versus Mauricio Lara. Zelfa Barrett versus Kiko Martinez. they actually put this on paper, B. They actually announced that fight. That fight, you know. I don't know. Josh Warrington, when is he going to give Kid Galahad a rematch?
Never going to happen.
Never going to happen, right? I don't want to see him fight anybody. I want to see him fight that guy. What's he doing? What's he doing, man? That's who you choose to put him in with. That's the guy you're promoting him against, Mauricio Lara. For real? Really? This is on your big unveil. This is on your big unveil for Matchroom. That's your big unveil right there. Okay. February 20th, we got David Avanesian versus Josh Kelly. Not a bad fight. March 6th, Alexander Povetkin versus Dylan White. The rematch. Eric Molina also on the other card against undefeated Fabio Wardley. March 20th, Lawrence Okolie versus Krzysztof Glowacki. That's a good fight. That's a decent fight. I like that fight. April 10th, Conor Benn, who's now 17-0. Watch this guy his entire career, babe. 17-0 now.
Yeah.
April 10th, Conor Benn versus Sammy Vargas. That'll be a good fight. It's a good fight for him.
I think it's a solid fight.
Yeah.
I think it's a real solid fight.
Very good fight. Not bad, but as far as the overall card, nothing I'm going to write home about. Put it this way, I wouldn't go grab DAZN for it, you know? I mean, would you pay, you know, I mean, we already buy DAZN because we're degenerates, but I wouldn't recommend that you go out and pick up DAZN for that.
No.
You know, so.
I mean, I think overall DAZN's been okay. For the price, though, I'm not so sure it's 100% bargain. Like
what is
they're
it?
Trying
we're getting it for like $10 a month, I think.
Yeah, we're paying $10 a month. For
yeah,
it. But like, let me ask
it's
you a question.
$20 a month, though. Right?
I have it
$20. Like, if we just bought it,
yeah,
that's crazy.
It's $20.
That's insane.
But some months I don't. But let me ask you this: Are you clicking? Are you opening up that app every month and watching fights on it?
No.
Some months we don't even use it.
No.
Some months we don't even use it because there's nothing going on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, for $20, listen, ESPN is $5 a month.
Yeah.
All right. ESPN
and you can bundle ESPN Plus with other channels.
Did you
too,
see that? Okay, so Hulu, Disney, and
like
Disney and ESPN Plus
yeah.
are like $12 a month. Wrapped up. You get those three for $12 a month. That's a steal, son.
That's like $4 a month for ESPN Plus if you buy it that way.
Right. I mean, that's a steal, man. Yeah, you can't beat that. You get ESPN for $5, you get three of those? Hulu and Disney Plus. And with Disney Plus, what do you get? Star Wars and Marvel and all that other stuff on there or whatever you want to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, all those Clone Wars cartoons and shit.
I was thinking like Disney. I always think of like characters and stuff when I think of Disney, but I forgot. They got Star Wars. They got Marvel. They got, you know.
They got Mandalorian. That Mandalorian there, the Star Wars.
Yeah,
a lot of shit.
You know? So, yeah, man, I don't know. Like, in ESPN, the ESPN app is really cool. You can watch live sports on it and everything like that. I mean, it's nice. It's got the UFC on there. It's really cool. So for $5, you get way more for your money than you do with DAZN. What are we really – I've never really clicked around. I'll be honest with you, man. I've never really clicked around on DAZN unless there was a fight on. And I got to be honest.
I'm not going to
– Their app sucks.
It's horrible.
App
the picture quality
terrible.
Slow. The picture quality is garbage.
Sometimes it fades in and out depending on what box you got it on. If I'm watching it – I'll tell you this. If I'm watching it on Xbox – it works fine. Like, my dad, he watches his on the Xbox. Like, when there's a fight on the zone, he'll watch it on his Xbox. I watch mine on my Xbox downstairs. But if I'm watching it on Apple TV, it sucks. It is horrible. Really bad. And I watch everything else on Apple TV, like all the other streaming services and everything. Like, that's all on Apple TV. This one, it's terrible. And if you watch it on your computer, like, to rewind fights or try to fight, it's awful, dude. It sucks, man. It really does.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Who is Snow Queen? What is he talking about in the chat? Who is Snow Queen?
She's a boxing personality. She's an interviewer. She's very, very attractive.
She's hot?
Yeah, she's not bad. She's not a bad interviewer. But if you go on her Instagram page, it looks like
Heather Hardy's Instagram page.
It looks like X videos. You know what I'm saying?
What?
She's wearing like lingerie, lying on beds and shit. It's like, I mean,
you take her pretty serious.
I mean,
huh?
if you want to do that, but I don't know.
Yeah. I guess she's just doing it until the stripper career gets going. I mean, what is she?
Not a girl I'm taking home to mom, you know?
She's not Mrs. Right. She's Mrs. Right now. That's terrible, B.
Yeah, there you go.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. That's a bad comment, man. What's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? I don't get it. All right, guys. That's it, man. That's all the news we got. Just a side note, I announced it at the beginning, but next week, AFC-NFC championship games, they're going to start at 3. I know a lot of football fans are here, so we're going to be going live next week at 12 p.m. We'll also do the same thing on the Super Bowl, so 12 p.m. Sunday, and I'll be sending out some tweets about that. So catch me on Twitter, at Wingside73, and you'll get all the updates, all right? That'll do it for this edition of Wingside Reporter. As always, you can catch B.